T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Hands full today for Dylan Peters, named to his first opening day roster. Out towards center field, Brinson back toward the track, tracks it down. Dylan Peters works around a couple of base runners in the first. And now the 0-2 to Quintana, retired on 3 pitches, the first strikeout of the night, of the afternoon rather, for Dylan Peters. Quintana is frozen. Second strikeout for Peters. Again the 3-2 to Cooper at first. And once again, Dylan Peters strands a couple. Javier Baez towards short on the backhand. Rivera, a 1-2-3, 8-pitch sixth inning.
In comes Bukestad for the Panthers, right circle. 20 seconds left here in the third period of action. It's knocked away from Bukestad. Denton Heinen over on the far side for Boston. He'll get up towards center. It's played over the Panthers line. DeBrus couldn't run it down. Weegar did a good job on him. Poked ahead by Petrovich now to center. And the final seconds will tick away here in Boston as Grizzlick holds on for the duration. And this one is in the books. Boston wins it 5-1 over the Panthers here at TD Garden.
Olynyk holding, gets it away, right of the lane, slips a bit, turns down the lane, the floater on the front of the rim, fell off, no good, Nets get the rebound, and the Nets hold on in overtime, 110-109.
I don't know if it's because I'm on minute restriction or what, you know, but the minute's been like that all year, you know, and I'm not. And it's just really frustrating, and it's been frustrating, you know. And it's tough, you know. I don't know, man. It's crazy. I don't understand it. It's annoying, you know. We shouldn't. Why we matching them? We got one of the best centers in the league. Why we matching them? You know, a lot of teams don't have a good center.
Right.
So they gonna use their strength. So it's bullshit, you know. And it's really bullshit, man. It's a lot of teams that could use a center, you know, and that's one of them, you know, and that's bullshit, bro.
Does it make you question your future here, Evelyn?
I don't know, maybe.
Who do you take that up with? Is it coaching level, the management level, Andy, Pat?
I don't know.
Your agent?
I don't know.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, guys. That's
wow.
Enough. That gives you enough headlines.
Yeah.
All right, he's done talking today. That's going to cost him enough money, I think, for one day.
Which Heat media relations guy was standing next to him was just like, oh, my goodness. What is he saying?
I wonder if he sat there. I will have to ask one of those guys who was there when we talked to him. But I always wonder, like, when I'm not there, did the guy come over late and realize, oh, God, this is a train wreck? Or was he standing there and just let him get rid of some frustration? Because he didn't yell and scream.
No.
And then he got a little closer and went, oh, this is not good. I didn't realize this.
A couple S-bombs in there. That's it.
Well, if he's not sure who to talk to, case he's not familiar, I can give you a good name to start with, Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Case mm-hmm. you haven't known is
the end all be all.
It hasn't been clear cut for years and years and years now. Like, if you're not happy and you want out, his name's Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to him. I don't know if they can do anything right now, but they'll work real hard on it in the offseason for you. See if there's any takers out there.
Remember a couple seasons ago when priority number one was to call us on at 12:01?
Yeah.
Priority number one at 12:01 during this offseason could be take all the calls you can and see what he's worth on the market. I think that the crybaby act is over. I don't think Pat Riley's going to deal with this much longer.
Well, he better have a real nice playoff run here and finish the season. You know, they've got back-to-back games coming up here with Atlanta Tuesday and Wednesday, a home and road back-to-back nights. But this would be me being me.
Oh, I love this coach. I want you to be the coach for these two games.
Like, all right, Hassan, you're playing 40-plus.
Both nights.
Foul trouble, not foul trouble. Uh-huh. Don't look over at me and wave. We got to get you in shape. You're right. You need to play. And don't whine about your hip, your knee, nothing else. Your shoulder, your brain, nothing. You stay out there. We're going to do that because we understand you're upset. It is just so weird to hear somebody complaining to the media in a Heat uniform. We've talked about that culture. And part of that culture, Zach, has been that nobody says a word. And if they have a problem, we find out about it like 2 years later and go, oh, yeah, those two guys didn't get along. They had some issues in the locker room, but it never got out.
Yep.
Those guys have always been real professional. Apparently, don't run to their agents like Dolphin players do. They're different.
A little different?
Or to the beat writers.
Yeah.
They're a little different group through the years. So, anyway, that was very strange talking about his minutes restriction, frustration buildup, and talking about teams go to small lineups and I got to sit on the bench when we should just be using what I can do. I'm a special center. I'm one of the elite centers in the game and everything else. I don't know how much. I know some people really like Hassan, man. Sometimes I feel like he got paid and he disappeared. But anyway, he's missed 29 games. Like, he's just coming back from missing 29 games. Spoelstra wants to win, and he wants to put his best lineup out there and go with guys that are doing it right. And so it's just a little frustrating. We thought after the last talk with Eric Spoelstra, they got on the same page. And, you know, and both had this thing. Like, what's the next meeting going to be like? Because there's another one coming. I just don't know how many of those meetings you can have it doesn't sink in.
Well, that's the whole thing. There it is right there, and I think you hit the nail on the head. How many meetings do you need to have with a guy to get him to understand what's going on with this team right now? And it's not just, like, a team thing. If this guy had played in 75 games this year so far, 70 games this year, okay, you could complain. You know, you're averaging, what, 22 minutes a game? Whatever.
He's not sure who to talk to, and he thinks Spoelstra's not the guy. By the way, can you imagine going over Spoelstra's head?
No.
And going to Riley?
No. The agent right now?
No, either.
Or him? No.
Agent or player decides to not, because Riley would say, if I was the coach and somebody was doing that to me, I'd be pissed off. So
you're benched.
That would not work in the Heat culture, too, because they talk about that Heat culture. This is the exact opposite of the good Heat culture, what just happened. And you might be right, Zach. No matter what happens, and it might end up being, you know, nice in the offseason and everything else, they may just – Riley's seeing what Spoelstra's seeing from the injuries to what you get some nights and the pouting and not getting back and the pouting on the bench that everybody tries to defend over there when they have a timeout, and he sits by himself. We went through that a couple of times this year, making a lot of money. At the end, and I understand he wants to play, and I'm glad he wants to play, by the way. The one good thing is I'm glad he's frustrated, but I'd be embarrassed, you know, if there was a way he could have played more games than he didn't because he wanted to be closer to 100%, which, by the way, I don't know how many guys in any sport, hockey, basketball, baseball, or football are healthy at the end of the season. Any
very
of them,
few, yeah.
Right? Everybody's a little banged up. So anyway, but I would agree with you that this might have been it for Riley. We're going to do everything we can to trade him. Now, we may not be able to, but we're going to ship him.
Certainly try.
We'll finish this season with him, get what we can out of him, see if we can get him motivated, see if something works. See if UD, Alonzo, Dwayne, anybody else you can think of in the organization that might get him motivated. But listen, he's been around all those guys, and it's the same old thing.
Well, that's
Alonzo's
it also.
Been here the whole time. UD's been here
the
whole time.
Juwan Howard's on the bench there.
All those guys been here, and he's getting the money, and he knows it. The money's guaranteed. And I don't know.
Joe, the next 2 years, it's basically if you want this guy after this offseason, it's a two-year, $52 million
Is that what it is? 52 over the last
25,
2 years?
4.34, and then 27.093 the next 2 years. So you, if you're trading him, you're trading off $52 million over the next 2 years. That's not an easy contract to get rid of. Well, $26 million annually,
and,
but.
And everybody's going to see, it's not like the rest of the NBA, the other 29 teams are stupid.
Yeah.
They're watching what's going on,
they
going, wait a sec, it ain't working with the Heat.
In that culture down there with Pat Riley down there, it's not working. How's it going to be here?
Now, you know what's going to happen in one of these Atlanta games coming up. He's gonna go for a nice big double.
He's gonna
get
11 blocks. No, he's gonna get 11 blocks in one of these games.
He's gonna go 16, 17 rebounds and 20 points here coming up with one of these games against Atlanta, which they have right now. By the way, they're back in the seventh spot this morning.
Stay there.
And well, listen, they're in good shape with these two Atlanta games. Take care of business there. I think they'll be in real good shape to keep the seventh position. Milwaukee loses yesterday, so that helped them out a little bit. And boy, the Panthers, after being so close, lose three straight and now find themselves, after New Jersey wins yesterday, 7 points back with five games. They got Carolina home tonight. They got the next four at home, but they've just run out of games. This can be a tough one.
So you could say it. It's kind of a miracle if they win.
Even if they were to win all five games, they'd need a lot of help. Like New Jersey would have to do a lot, and Philadelphia would have to do a lot of losing for them to have a chance. So it doesn't look good there. And, of course, maybe the biggest surprise. How about this, man? Cubs and Marlins. They win 6-0 yesterday. End up getting a split in a four-game series with the Cubs. We're just getting to know who these guys are, man. There are a lot of names doing a lot of things that, excuse me, we're not used to hearing from. So that was pretty cool. Nice little start. Crowds after the opener got a little small.
Yeah, they did.
Apparently the Cubs fans went home after the opener.
They didn't stay around for the whole four games? No,
they a lot of them just disappeared on us, man.
Back to the west coast of Florida?
So, Zach, we got a lot of stuff going on this morning. Gronk looks like, boy, I thought it was just a rumor. Rob Gronkowski could be on his way out at New England. We'll come back and talk about what it would take to get Gronk and a lot of other stuff from over the weekend as the championship game is all set for tonight. We'll have all that stuff coming up for you in just a moment. But first, got to talk about your South Florida Chevy dealers. First thing in the morning, man, are you kidding me? You're looking for that new car, truck, or SUV, just starting to look around. The old miles are building up on the old vehicle, right? And you're way over, matter of fact, you just got an old car, truck, or SUV ready to get something new. Stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. You will love what you see. You're going to find out why 2018 is what they're calling the best overall products and best-looking lots in the history of Chevrolet. And with 14 dealerships throughout South Florida, you got one close to you, so get ready for a fantastic experience, man. With the Chevy Malibu, you can't go wrong. Tahoes, those loaded LTZ Silverado trucks, we got the perfect truck for you. Steel bed to 1500 crew cab, sexy Suburban, Camaro, Corvette, Equinox, Traverse. I don't have time to tell you about all of them, but I will tell you, when it comes to a great price and a great look, safety features, fuel economy, the new technology, we got you covered. All you have to do is take a test drive. You Chevy dealers. Welcome back and good morning, everybody. What a weekend. Gosh, so much stuff going on to get to this morning. First of all, we got the Heat hanging in there. We got all this news with Hassan Whiteside that we'll have more on coming up in the show. The Panthers all of a sudden lose three, Zach, and that's just New Jersey's won a couple games. They're seven back now and only five games left. Got Carolina tonight, got their next four of five at home, four in a row at home coming up here. But they have to win all their games, and they need some help. they need New Jersey to head south quickly.
Sure.
And it's just as quick as possible. Running out of games here. And so it's it is a long shot to be nice here about this thing. And the Cubs and Marlins get the split over the weekend. How about yesterday? They said they're going to do it. 10,000 people. They're calling it the smallest crowd in the history of the Marlins here at this new ballpark. 10,000. And I'm going, wait a second. I saw that crowd yesterday. They've had smaller crowds. It's just they were going back to butts in seats.
BIS index.
They've had some games over the last few years that were smaller crowds. But
didn't we have Steve Wine from the AP last year put out that picture where you could count the people in the stands?
Yeah, but
like
they
there
were
was
doing,
like 1,900 or something
were,
like that.
There was just too much ego for the Marlins. Like, no, they're not here, but they bought the tickets. That's all that matters.
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway,
tickets sold versus butts and seats is a totally different.
Listen, they're obviously they get the 2-2 split there with the Cubs. It's a nice start. What they're able to do. Heck, they took another game into extra innings. So did some Dylan Peters, 6 innings, a shutout yesterday. Got out of some jams. I mean, a bunch of them. And everything else, and got some big hits. Brian Anderson had a big hit, third baseman now. I think the fans have spoken here early, because if you're not going to draw well, and I know yesterday's Easter, right?
Yeah, different story. You don't think a lot of people are out on Easter, right? A lot of people probably kind of doing their own family thing.
Yeah. So I don't know how much I'm going to read into that, but yeah, it's like tonight the Red Sox. You got Red Sox Monday and Tuesday.
You should have a big crowd the next 2 days.
Red Sox, one of the sexy teams, highest payroll in baseball. So we'll see what happens there.
Are you worried though during the week, Monday, Tuesday, with Boston in town? Okay, because if this is a weekend Boston like we just saw with the Cubs, you got to think.
I think Red Sox fans going to show up.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, I think there's going to be plenty.
I think you would always like to think that opening day would be a sellout.
Of course.
No matter how bad you are, the old opening day of baseball used to be something really, really special.
Absolutely.
Obviously, it's not what it used to be, and I understand there's a lot of people frustrated and everything else, but once they get past these games, these 6 games, and they come back from their road trip.
There it is.
I'm a little concerned.
Uh-huh.
These crowds are – I'm not concerned. The Marlins should be concerned that about people showing up for these games, even playing well and hustling and all that stuff. I think it goes back to star power and
winning games.
And see how they do. They were scrappy. I thought opening day, the way it started for their ace, was just really bad. Urania was just not good. So
he's still hitting guys.
Still, he might hit a couple guys while he's warming
just
up.
Just why you said that.
Two guys just got hit again. Yeah. Anyway, we got all that stuff to talk about here this morning. Got a lot of other stuff, though. I got to tell you something. I went up to Gainesville this past weekend to see my daughter.
Whoa, that's good news.
Well, I stopped by, of course, while I was up there visiting my daughter.
Oh, here we go. Can't wait to hear this.
No, I stopped by the track meet. The Florida Relays.
So you went to go see your daughter. Was your wife with you?
Yeah, because
how'd you talk your wife into
this? My daughter, we were at a softball event that my daughter was working.
Oh, yes. So, but put this disclaimer out there too, because you with your stories, a lot of times you get sports involved with no one knowing. Your daughter is heavily involved in like Gator athletics up there doing stuff.
So
put that disclaimer out there before you say you snuck into these events.
Well, so anyway, we watched a softball game, watched the lady softball team in Florida. Watch that. And then I walked over to the
track and field, okay,
knowing that a bunch of South Florida high schools were running in the relays.
Okay.
So I got to go over there, and I just happened to know that the American Heritage Plantation team has the fastest relay team in the country.
And they were there. Okay.
They showed up. There were high schools from everywhere.
So you found a way to make it local.
And colleges.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I got to the finals, and I was thinking, man, this will be fun to watch and see if they have it. They must have won by 30 meters against the other high schools. They
were that fast, huh?
It is unbelievable. It's four guys on scholarship for football running: Anthony Schwartz, Tyson Campbell, Miles Jones and Patrick Surtain.
Weren't we just worried about where these four kids were signing a couple weeks ago?
So that's the whole point is like, all right, where are you guys going to play? Of course, Anthony Schwartz is scary fast, like the fastest or one of the two or three fastest high school 100-meter runners there is in the country. So he's going to Auburn on a track slash football, which I think soon is going to be just track, considering – he How ran the open 100 and ran faster than any of the college athletes there.
The college athletes?
Well, some of the top colleges were all there.
Wow.
And on Friday, he ran a 10-1-7.
What?
In crappy weather. I mean, it was bad. So
10-1-7.
Yeah, and it was the fastest time in the whole meet. So the high school and college players. So, yeah. Anyway, that is really impressive to watch. The other three guys are 2 5-star corners.
Yeah, we know about those two.
And by the way, Tyson Campbell can flat out, he's got scholarship 100-meter speed too. And he's a 5-star corner.
Poor Pat Surtain Sr. having those kids on his football team the last couple of years.
I was going to say, if you're wondering, don't feel bad if you're a high school coach and one of those four kids ran by you this year. Don't feel like you were left out because they're running by the fastest kids in the country right now, too. Just very impressive to watch. I happen to like track, and so got to see there some of the Olympic athletes were up there. It was fun, but I just wanted to mention that there's most likely, unless they drop the baton, nobody's going to beat those four guys in the 4x100 relay.
Can we just send that team to the Olympics? You think that would work?
Well, they're not Olympic fast because there were some colleges that ran faster relay times because they're just some of those guys aren't pure track guys, even though they can all run speeds that I'm not even aware of.
That's scary that they're not just pure track guys yet. They're running that fast.
They got two guys that could get track scholarships, I'm guessing, to just about anywhere for the 100. I don't know what they run in the 200 because I didn't get to see that. But, wow, I wanted to let you know that was very, very impressive to see.
How'd the wife deal with the whole sports?
You know what? She was good.
Okay.
She was good.
Because now she's got
her
daughter also involved, not just you?
We saw everything, man.
Okay.
They had everything going on. I mean, it was the facilities up there, everything's close. This is the first time. I'm embarrassed to tell you my daughter's a junior, and it's really the first time outside of football season I've seen everything going on at the same time.
And it was a holiday weekend.
You've seen it, yeah.
So yeah, that was my first question to you when you told me that you were going to go up to Gainesville was just let me know how – I don't remember what a holiday weekend was like because normally at that point, like this type of weekend, especially with Passover also, I ran out of town to come home for the weekend as much as my friends did as well, Easter too. I don't remember what campus looks like during a holiday weekend.
No,
it was pretty packed.
No, you could tell a lot of students had made the trip home.
So you were able to get into the restaurants, probably no wait or not a big wait.
No, that place is there, but they just, you know what they do? They just literally all their sports teams were playing. So they had
so there were still a lot of people there.
They had that relay thing, so you had teams from everywhere. You had 100 colleges in town and 50-plus high schools.
Wow.
So that fills up. That's good business.
And
then you
have
lacrosse playing, softball playing. I mean, they had a lot of different events. Tennis. I was trying to think of all the different teams. I felt like I was staying in one of those college dorms at my hotel because outside I went for breakfast one day, and there was tennis rackets from all these schools from Vanderbilt.
Jealous?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to pick one of those up and go. But, we had the Indiana track team there. Oh, yeah, we were.
Wow, look at you
It
guys.
Was wild, Zach. There was a lot of stuff. So,
I can't believe you got your wife to go.
I'm guessing that's
you used the daughter
I'm
approach,
I'm guessing
though,
it's the first track meet.
She ever been to?
She didn't say a word.
Okay.
I said a few things to her and like explain things to her so she knew like what is this and I saw it's a relay and the baton and why'd he stop? He dropped the baton and so he had to go back and pick it up.
Look
and
at
then
you
run.
Teaching
so,
class.
So we were going through that a little bit, but it was a fun weekend for just getting out of town.
How was the weather up there in Gainesville this weekend?
Not great.
You said it wasn't great during the track.
Not great.
Yeah.
And by the way, I forgot it's a lot colder up there.
Oh, a lot colder. It's like a different part of the world.
It's funny, but I'm a little embarrassed to tell you. I should have known that. My daughter's been up there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Tell you how many times I've been up there. I haven't matched my wife's participation up there. Hey, the other thing is, I wanted to talk to you about it. It's amazing. I didn't mention this last week. I wanted to talk about Alex Rodriguez for a second here. Has anybody changed their image from what he's done? What he had hit about as low. He was on his way. He was suing everybody. It seemed like just yesterday, right? Called the commissioner a liar and stormed out, and now commissioner. And the doctors, he was suing everybody. He had lawsuits against he had to hire like 20 lawyers for all the lawsuits he had going on. Then he got suspended for a full year for PEDs, right? Remember that?
They paid him to go away, basically.
Just go away. Yeah. His relationship with the Yankees was terrible. The whole he was right in the middle of that whole biogenesis thing. You remember that whole
That's
thing, right.
right?
Crazy. And now look at him. It is amazing what he did on his image. Now he's got Fox, he's got ESPN, he's on all these shows, he's on the Tank and everything else, doing all these shows for successful
Shark
guys.
Tank, that's right.
Everybody
yeah.
wants him around. Yeah, Shark Tank. I forgot
that. Okay.
I started to call it Fish Tank.
Yeah, you're
good
close.
Thing I didn't say that. You
no,
guys have been ripping me this morning.
I was waiting for it. Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought, wow, I see A-Rod on everything. I go, man, we got to try to get him on. It's amazing. He came clean for the most part on everything.
Yeah, I remember I had that big press conference in Tampa where he admitted to everything. And then
sorta.
Sorta.
You never admit to how long you did it.
No, but that
But
it
you
happens.
Just said, you know, I did, you know, and tried to say, you know, go on a radio up there, a fan, and I did not do it, you know, and then I think it just realized, like, man.
I just got to come out and say it, yeah.
All right, I screwed up.
Here's the short answer to your question. I have never seen a guy turn himself around like this in the media the way he has.
Have we ever seen a sports guy?
No.
Ever?
No.
Turn his image around?
No.
Look
seen
at
the
Jose
opposite.
Canseco.
Yeah, we've seen the opposite, but not this.
See, Jose could have done all this stuff, too.
Right.
And instead, he just decided he was going to be an idiot the whole time.
He blew the whistle, too. He wrote that book and wrote names and
like,
this and that.
Like Ryan Braun. I'm not over. Like, Ryan Braun, you're still an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I have no respect for Ryan Braun.
Outside of Milwaukee, that's how he's known.
But you look at what A-Rod's done.
It's amazing. It is truly amazing. You're right. He was one of the most hated athletes at one point in the last 5 years. One of the most hated.
He will get in. Because of all this stuff, he'll get in before all the rest of those guys.
Probably should at this point.
For the Hall of Fame. We got to go to a break here. We got a lot of stuff coming up here this morning to get to. I did want to mention that, including some tight end news that could affect a lot of people, including this draft. We'll have that for you when we come back. Stay with us.
The Ramblin' Men, the Michigan Wolverines, are in the national championship game, knocking off the Ramblers of Loyola Chicago 69-57. The Wolverines are in the title game for the first time since 2013. Here's DiVincenzo on the left wing with 8 to shoot, launching a 3. That's good. DiVincenzo with the 18th made 3 for Villanova. They lead it by 20, 83-63. Villanova tonight certainly clipped the Jayhawks' wings in this Final Four. Villanova wins it 95-79. And the national championship game is set. It's Villanova and Michigan playing for the title on Monday night in San Antonio.
There you have it, and we got Monday, so we are ready for tonight's game. I'm out of the show, so it doesn't really matter. I've been out for weeks now. I've just donated my money.
Yeah, no one's left, by the way.
So
only people who have Villanova winning the championship, which in our brackets there are a couple.
Tell me, please tell me, nobody here at the in the building had Villanova and Michigan playing each
no,
other.
No, they had Villanova, a couple people.
Yeah, Villanova's
but no
a
one
seed.
Had, yeah, no, I don't
nobody
think
had, Michigan,
had Michigan,
which no. wouldn't be that crazy. They're a 3 seed.
No, they're not so bad. If you had, I mean, Loyola would have been the one
hey,
if
listen,
you had
man,
that.
Nobody thought Michigan was the best team in their own conference.
No.
Everybody was on that Michigan State bandwagon, including yours truly here,
yeah.
Jumped all over that. Oh, Michigan State's not getting enough respect. Oh, yeah, they got just what they deserved. Anyway, that's tonight. And Villanova just shot. It's about as good a shooting, Zach, as you can do. I thought, man, that's going to be a good game. Kansas, right, the way they played and hung in there against Duke. And I thought, boy, this is going to be a good game. Man, Villanova shoots like that.
Oh, come on. They were amazing.
They had one of the
I just hope they didn't do too much in the Final Four game where they got nothing left for Monday night.
They don't seem like kind of been there and kind of used to this, and that's been a hell of a story how good Villanova seems to be just about every year. Just a great job. So anyway.
You know what stinks about the brackets more than anything?
What's that?
That Hollywood always talks about the fact that he didn't know any of the, you know, any of the teams, whatever, he just put in a bracket. He'll end up winning on our show. And not just winning, but he crushed me and you.
I don't care about that. Did he win the whole thing?
No, he's in fourth place, but he has no chance to win.
All right, then he's just, we're all the same. You either win it or it doesn't matter.
And worse than that, me and you were tied for 17th.
Out of how many people in the thing?
24. We're by the bottom.
I knew I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I knew it.
First of all, Zach,
honestly, you don't have to be so tough on yourself.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen most of the teams play.
Not me either. I got
a little over the top on local teams watching, and then outside of that, I just wasn't spending a lot of time watching these other teams. And by the way, if I'm wrong, all those national guys are wrong because I cheated off every one of those bastards.
Well, I think Arizona and Virginia kind of knocked a lot of people out of it by losing early. Obviously, Virginia by losing in the first round. It's been one of the crazier tournaments with a 16 seed winning, Loyola almost getting to the championship game. It's been a fun tournament to watch. There's been a lot of good games, but the unlikely didn't happen. Where Loyola did get there, there is a one seed. And if the one seed wins, which Villanova basically was the two seed overall in the entire tournament, it's kind of chalk.
Yeah.
It's right there at chalk.
Well, listen, we got all that. And we all had to get to this Rob Gronkowski story. It looks like, you know, when it first comes out, you're going, okay, I don't know. This Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick thing, and not making a commitment, and I agree, Belichick doesn't usually. This is about the time, if Belichick thinks Gronkowski's on the downside, this is where he calls teams and says, Gronk, I will trade him. Give me your best offer. I want a two. They're saying they either want a two or a three for Gronkowski, and which tells me they will make a tight end a priority in this draft in the first couple of rounds, which I hope the Miami Dolphins do the same thing and get one of those guys that everybody's going to be talking about here coming up here. And there's a bunch of good ones, including Gesicki out of Penn State and some other guys. But I'm always wondering when Belichick and Gronk, he's been so good. He's got a pretty friendly contract for a guy as good as he is. It's not a ridiculous contract. So I'm really curious to see how this is going to play out, because they're saying make the offer to the New England Patriots. And I agree with you. You said this last week. I think Belichick, even if he got a really good pick from a team in the AFC East, would skip on it. And then the other teams have to be concerned in general that Gronk does a one and done on you. Worst thing you want to do is give up a second or third round pick.
And then he's out after
a
year?
For one hit guy. And he goes, hey, I'm just not into it. You know, I kind of got burned out on all the winning, and I'm here now, and I got a chance to go to L.A. or go to wrestling or whatever he might want to do. It would scare me a little bit.
Sure, I can understand
that. I would ask you, would you, if you're the Dolphins, would you put in an offer not knowing? Listen, Gronk's 28, and he's had a bunch of injuries. I think everybody knows that. Knee, couple of backs.
We talking about our third-round pick here?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a second.
So I wouldn't do it.
I would take the chance and see what happens in 1 second, especially if you're the Dolphins, knowing that if Gronk is even halfway pissed off at Belichick, you get him twice a year. You're going to be able to get back at Bill Belichick twice a year if you want. Come back and play.
But he can't make it like you're going, all right, we're going to trade for you. Will you stay a couple years?
No, you're not going to have that. You're gambling. You're gambling.
I mean, Gronk's out there.
Yep.
Like,
you're gambling.
You can't trust at this point. And then I always worry that you leave New England and the high of playing and the expectation so high and playing with Brady. And then you leave and you come down and now you got somebody else throwing to you. You've seen how things work the right way to have success. And now you're going, ooh. I mean, it's looser and I can get away with more stuff, but man. I forgot what it was like to win 11, 12, 13, 14 games every year.
Yeah.
So I would just take all those things in consideration. I am really curious to see how many teams and how much you offer – He ain't going to play a long time no matter what.
No, I understand that.
I mean,
but
I would be surprised to see him play into his 30s.
I would dangle it out there and see what happens. Because, you know, unfortunately, and this is with all fairness to the three-headed monster and Davey that's running things for the Dolphins, there's not a lot of confidence in the drafts. There's not a lot of confidence in...
I agree with
that. So I look at that
until,
and go...
Until some drafts work out, I agree with you.
So, yeah, and maybe they will. Maybe the next 2 years they have two really good drafts. They turn this whole thing around. We are all hoping for that three-headed monster and Davey, believe me. But in all fairness to the fans out there and to the people that cover this team, the draft picks haven't been that great over the last decade. And if you're telling me a third-round pick will bring in Gronkowski, and you know, more than likely, at least got a year out of it, I think I'd be willing to take that chance.
No, you can't go. I can't. You can't, Zach. Then you'll be ripping the guys. If Gronk came here somehow.
If you took a chance on Gronk, I wouldn't rip these guys. I wouldn't rip them afterwards.
Because most likely it's not going to happen. But it'd be such a major upgrade for anybody. But, Zach, you can't be giving
up. He becomes your top weapon on the offense.
He ends up playing 1 year and then goes, hey, you know what? I just kind of lost
it. It's possible that happens. It is. Or you draft a guy in the third round that never plays.
Now, you know what people are saying? Well, we missed on so many third-round picks
anyway.
That's
where I am. That's where I am.
Like, you'd still get more out of him than you're getting out of Carew.
Come on. Seriously, you can't even throw that in the same category. Yeah. That's why I would do it.
But either way, you want to get more out of three, Zach.
Of course. I understand that.
And then you don't do it.
Nah, see, at this point, I think you have to because you're getting nothing out of these threes anyway.
Now, you find out he plays a couple of years and you forget about it. If he plays at 70% of what he's been, you take it. But I just hope the team, I mean, I just hope they're making tight end a priority. They really got to upgrade that. And nothing against all the nice things that Adam Gase said about the group of guys he has right now and everything else, and this guy's getting better, and we saw a little something from that guy. We didn't see anything in games from any of them last year. So whatever you're seeing in practice and anything else, I think it's great, and Adam Gase knows more than I do. But go out and get Mark Andrews or Godert or Hurst or Gesicki or one of those top four or five guys. Make that a priority. Everybody can look at the mock draft list of top guys. There's no surprises now. Go get one of those guys.
Okay, well, I'd like to do a Twitter poll, and I'd like to do a text poll. Would you trade a third-round pick?
You're way over my head. You start going Twitter and
because I want to know what everyone wants. Because I think there are more people in my boat than yours. Trade a third-round pick for Gronk if it's out there, or draft one of these young guys. I'll put the Twitter poll up at Joe Rose Show, and you can text it into 56022 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. I think there's more people with me. They don't trust these guys to draft a guy. But if you could give up a third and get Gronk, now with the chance, the caveat in there is, what if Joe is right and he's got a year left and then he's, I'm going to give it up. Would you, it's a waste of a third-round pick after that. To me, you get a year out of Gronk for a three.
Talking about retiring and football's not fun. If football's not fun in New England, what the hell's going to make it fun anywhere else? Because you ain't going to win as much.
South Beach.
He got South Beach all offseason.
You will own it.
He's down here now anyway.
If he catches 10 touchdowns for the Dolphins in the Dolphins uniform, South Beach would be a lot different for that guy. A lot different.
Find one of those four tight ends.
Okay.
Oklahoma, South Dakota State, South Carolina, or Penn State. Work those guys out. Find the best guy and take him in whatever of those guys you can get in a second round. Don't wait for third or fourth. Make it a second round priority. You get a defensive player, any of those guys you like in the first round. You make the second round, third round at the worst. And get a damn tight end.
Okay.
Get one of those damn tight ends. I don't mean the ninth or tenth best guy on your board.
Jump up
and get a top four or five guy, wherever it might fall. Now, I think Big O doesn't think it's going to happen. I think one of those tight ends could go in the first round.
I think so, too.
I look at New Orleans and how important tight ends are to their offense and some of the other teams.
They need a guy, you're right.
And New England and their offense, they got Gronk in the second round. So anyway, we'll find out more, and I'm sure everybody's got them all different, like everything else. But yeah, we'll find out. First of all, you do know in our make believe world, there's a really good chance. When's the last time Belichick traded with somebody in our league?
Oh, it's not going to happen
in our division.
Oh, I've said when it came out last week, we talked about it. I said, yeah, if they trade him, it's fine. You know, he's going to get traded. Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, somewhere on the West Coast, somewhere away from the AFC.
Yeah, they may just finish this thing off with San Francisco.
Yeah,
they may have
Garoppolo
a bonding
deal
going.
Yeah.
Like, all right, San Francisco won't hurt us. We're fine.
All right, 56022, Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, and I'm going to put the Twitter poll up now at Joe Rose Show. Third round pick for Gronk, or draft a guy in the first couple rounds and see what happens there, the Joe deal. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and I will get the poll up right now at Joe Rose Show, but don't text it in also as well. The texts are coming in fast and furious. 56022.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.